Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com, that's M-O-O-D.com, to get started.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. We just had a very interesting conversation about our parental guidance rating. I called it Sunday morning service.
Trust me, we want to be Friday night lights, but you know.
I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer for us real fast, and then we'll get started.
Jesus, help us. Amen.
Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Yay, got it.
Yeah, and look, obviously I want to take it seriously, and I do, but I don't know, I think today just Jesus.
It's been kind of a offsetting day, a little goofy, little energetic. Kind of both of us bring in a little pep to the table, and it's funny because right before we recorded our Bible roulette, I'm over here like yawning and about to fall asleep in my chair, and then couple of things happened. One, you just got some news. You sold your pickup.
Yay!
So that couldn't have come at a better time.
No, it could not have. I've been trying to sell that truck for, it's been a while now. Seriously, man, the gentleman that helped, he helped get it ready to sell. Tony, he was one of the first to listen to our podcast. He always, every time he sees me, you know, thank you guys for everything you do. His dad passed away actually not long ago, and he texted me one night, you know, saying, man, you guys being on the road with me really helps. He's a driver, and he delivers parts.
Yeah.
And he graciously was like, man, you guys being on the road with me just really helped me get through all of this stuff. So Tony, thank you so much for your help. We love you so much. Thank you for your support as well. And thank you, Jesus. I needed that money.
That's good. that was a cool pickup though. That was a really cool pickup.
Oh, it is, man. And I mean, it's the square body. It's an 81 Chevy C10.
Yeah,
everybody loves them. Everybody wants to do the LS swap, put the LS Corvette motor in it.
Yeah,
you said you would.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I would LS swap that like tomorrow. We were talking about something. I kind of wanted to bring it up just because I think that Doc Hayden?
Doc Hayden, yes, sir.
I think we really probably should kind of dive into that a little bit this afternoon because that really was an eye-opening point of view when it comes to the Olympics, and a lot of our listeners, they're probably feeling the same way that we are about how the
instantly offended.
Opening ceremony of the Olympics, how it was immediately, I was very withdrawn, kind of turned everything. I didn't see the opening ceremony, but I started seeing highlights of it, and immediately I made up my mind, hey, I'm boycotting the Olympics. I'm not watching anything.
Yep, I agree. I did the same thing.
I was wrong to make that stand, very wrong to make that stand. This guy really, really explains it in such a manner of how Christians really should be acting. I was going to pass it to you. If you want to play.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you think we should play it? It's probably 3 to 5 minutes long. Hayden.
I think that's the only way that we can really explain how our conversation went earlier. And
I agree. So let's give this a shot. We're using TikTok. This is Doc Hayden.
Where are you at on that?
Nope.
66.
Not that. You click on the video that you sent somebody, and it's like,
it takes a minute for it to.
I'm going to show this other video. There he is. All right.
Olympics in Paris, everyone is posting about. So let's talk about this.
There's a blower in the background. That's the only thing that's driving me nuts about this video.
Just like with this person, I told him I never watched it. I want to say from that time that this person posted this, I've seen a little clips here and there. I know it's certain things you guys are losing your mind about, but I just want to say this. Who gives a crap what they're doing? Who cares? I'm being serious. Like, what are you guys doing? Do you not know what it is to be a believer in Jesus? As a believer in Jesus, Satan, sin, and death is a distraction. Your flesh is a distraction. The world is a distraction. That is not your focus. Many of you get this indignant, self-righteous, start going, I can't believe they're mocking Jesus. And you can't believe they're mocking Jesus. You can't believe they're mocking the Lord's Supper. You can't believe that? Seriously? You can't believe that? They're unbelievers. Oh, let me think. When Jesus came to the earth, what did they do? Hey, come on in. We're so glad you're here. We love you, man. No, that's not what happened. And by the way, do you not understand the gospel? Why is it that Jesus willingly went to the cross, yet while we were sinners? Why did he allow himself to be crucified and to shed his blood? For one reason. For God so loved the world. That's why. Emmanuel means God with us in the form of Jesus. So here's God on earth in the form of Jesus. Remember, Jesus has two natures. Fully man and fully God. As a man, cry out to his Father. As a God, he'd walk on water and command another man to walk with him. So here we have God on earth because he crazy loves us. Why? Because he knows who the real enemy is. And it's not his greatest creation, human beings. It's not. It's Satan, the demonic spirits, had ownership of sin that created it and made it and attacked the thing he loved the most. And by the way, did he separate us from God? Yes. Did we have responsibility? Yes. Huge difference in ownership of sin and responsibility. Yet what did he do? Was he angry? Was he mad? No. He's like, I love walking with them in the garden. I love talking with them. I love being in relationship. There's only one way to get them. I got to come myself. It's the only way. And I got to come as fully human and fully God. It's the only way to pull it off. Because what I have to do is where the first Adam allowed sin to enter the world, the second, I mean, Jesus took back that which the first Adam lost in full measure. And he did. Jesus defeated Satan, sin, and death, hell, and the grave. Defeated. It is finished. Do you not understand this comment? So what are we doing on the earth? Quit being distracted by all the things the enemy is doing on the earth. That's making you distracted. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, directing your steps. And you got to remember this too. Stop being so religious. If Jesus literally willingly went to the cross, they spit on him, they mocked him, they beat him to death. I mean, he should have died from the scourging, yet he had that focus to get to that cross because he had to redeem us for the first time let sin in the world. He had to get there. I don't even know how he got there, but he got there, and love is what put him on there. Christians, where is your love? Where is your love for the lost? All you can focus on is what they're doing. Jesus, did he not focus on love? Did he not allow them to do it? Wasn't he in the most epic moment of pain and suffering? And he's on that cross, literally about to give his life. And the few last words he said was, Father, speaking to him, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Why did he say that? See, Jesus saw the crowd, he saw the people, but he knows who the real enemy is. It was Satan, the demonic spirit's energy, who were behind all the people, empowering them to crucify him. Now understand a truth. We know Jesus willingly went to the cross. They did not know that. Yet what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. They don't know who they're being led by. Believers, wake up. You got to start loving people. You got to love them broken. Even if they don't know that God created and made them, we do. Just as simple as a thumbprint. There's a thumbprint that you have that nobody in the entire world. It shows you're an original. It shows there's only one God who created everyone, and you're a special individual, and he loves you. He loves you so much, he willingly got on that cross and shed his blood for you and me. That's how much God loves us, right? For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, that the world through him would be saved. Christians, wake up. Come on, hear me. Feel me. Stop being distracted. Stop standing up like you're the righteous judge and you want to protect Jesus and all the sacraments and all the things, and you go crazy when people touch it. Stop. Jesus himself. You understand our shalom, our Messiah, that he got on that cross and willingly love held him there. Where is your love, believers? Where is your love? Wake up. Father, in the name of Jesus, wake up, born again believers.
I think that's obviously plenty. We could definitely let him do his prayer. But he's really just calling and asking the Holy Spirit to get into our hearts and to help us to refocus our thoughts, right? Instead of focusing on the behavior, the poor behavior, which, don't get me wrong, we're not saying that we agree with the behavior at all. I don't believe that Doc Hayden is saying that he agrees
with
the behavior.
No, I don't believe. I don't think he believes in the behavior either.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's MOOD.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's MOOD.com to get started.
Or he's okay with the behavior. I think what he's trying, the point he's trying to get is
God loves them just as much as he loves us.
Right, right.
They just don't know it.
Right. They haven't accepted that fact
yet. We hold an advantage over that because we know it.
Right.
They don't.
Right. Gosh.
And I really, really hope that they.
I do.
I really do pray for that.
I do.
But you know, it in the Bible it even says there will be more people in hell than there will be in heaven.
Yeah. This is definitely just the beginning. I hope that everybody understands that as well. I mean, like, you know, look, I also want everybody to understand, like, this isn't something new. This has been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah.
You know, Sodom and Gomorrah was like 4,000 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is all, first of all, we have to address the what everybody's so in an uproar about.
Yeah.
And it's the transgender deal at the Last Supper, along with the rider on the pale horse with no face, which, you know, that's Revelation, you know. Behold a pale horse. There was a pale horse, and the man who rolled upon him was death, and hell followed with him, right? Yeah. Like, but.
Yeah, there it was, and I'm not saying, look, there's nobody has come out and said, yes, we were mocking the Last Supper.
Sure.
Nobody has.
They're not
no one has come out and said, yes, we were trying to portray the man on the pale horse coming out as death. No one has said that.
Right.
And they're never going to. There's no evidence there. But
It sure is awful suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
Hey, looking pretty sus over there. If you know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, the thing is like nobody's ever going to openly. They're not going to come out and say it because the backlash has already happened.
Yeah,
right.
There's been several sponsors, like big
Samsung
sponsor.
Pulled out $1 billion.
Well, and then right after it happened, there was like a tech company or an IT company that backed out.
Yeah,
pulled all their ads.
Yeah,
there's been a they're getting some backlash now.
Yeah.
Will anything ever come of it? I don't know. All we can do as believers and as citizens is just love each other.
Yeah.
And try to be forgiving because, you know, the manner in which you show forgiveness is going to be the same manner in which you are given forgiveness.
Right, right. For us who are believers.
Yes.
Right. Who are so offended by what they did?
Yeah,
we should quickly recognize and remember that we are not the judge.
Yeah,
and if we are passing judgment, that we will be judged as we mm-hmm. are judging. Right. So
that's what I'm saying.
Actually, I wrote down probably 8 or 9 points that Doc missed making during this video, and we kind of touched on them already. But I think if I say them, like maybe we can, kind of add to that. So yeah. From the start, we're acting surprised that Jesus is being mocked.
Yeah.
Even though he's been mocked since
he
was born,
since he stepped forward and really started to kind of proclaim himself at not I am the Messiah. He kind of made people. Mm-hmm. He kind of led them to believe that without having to come out and say it because they would ask him.
Yeah,
and he would give them a parable or he would give them something to. He would never just come right out and say it. Yeah. You know what I mean? which is. And that's how he is. That's how it worked. I mean, that's how he was with everything. You know, they always try to trap him with a question.
Yeah, we have to understand that we cannot understand. We watched that other video, the old X-Men video Wolverine talking to Nightcrawler, and like Nightcrawler was talking about, like, we cannot understand God's purposes. You know what I mean? But like, there's great things in store for us.
There's millions of people all over the world with dozens of different religions that all believe in a God. How can so many people be wrong?
There's a God somewhere.
Even if we're not all the same religion, like even though we all have different religious values, and we all share the same ideology. There is a God.
Yeah.
In every religion, there is a God.
Yes.
How can so many people be wrong?
Yeah. Billions of people.
Yeah. I mean, there is a God. There is a God.
Yeah.
He's there.
He went to the cross while we were still sinners, right? We didn't get right with God before he went to the cross.
Yeah.
We were made right by the cross.
He sacrificed himself for us
sinners. And why did he do that? Because God loves the world, right?
He loved the world so much he gave his only begotten son.
That's right. Our enemy isn't the people.
Our enemy is the enemy.
The enemy, yes.
The enemy. The name of... The enemy is Satan.
I mean, I think that this right
Lucifer,
here.
Lucifer, however you want to call it. I mean, it's.
Whatever you want to call it. The one who stood against the throne.
Yeah, it's the enemy. That's the enemy. That's the one person that I loathe enough to say I'm ready for him to meet his downfall.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready for him to get what's coming.
Yep. What's already been.
Yeah, it's already set in stone. It's going to happen, regardless if he knows it or not.
Yeah.
Oh, he knows. He knows what's going to happen to him.
Well, I think he knows, but I think he doesn't believe.
Yeah.
Right? I think if you have, why would you still fight if you know for sure?
Yeah.
Right?
He's got some, this is just my own theory on this.
Yeah.
But I think he does have a little cocky nature to him probably. Or whatever it is.
That's certainly the nature that he passed on to us.
Yeah. He's got a little bit of arrogance to him because he brought angels with him when he was cast out. They revolted, and he brought them with him. Yep. So he knows he has a following.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he, as cocky as he may be, thinks that, hey, I got this huge following.
Yep.
We're going to take over.
Yep.
Hey,
let me tell you how big my God is.
Not today, Muff.
But the idea, though, to me is like, look, if we as followers could recognize that they are not the enemy, right.
Yeah.
Look, I understand. Look,
It's
the influence of the enemy. Look, I may disagree with your behavior. I might, Actually, okay.
I do.
We probably should just out and out say it. Look, I don't agree with your lifestyle, but that's not up for me to decide. Your judgment is up to you, right? Yeah. If you can go to God and you and he decides that that's okay for you, that's on you. That has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I love you no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? There's people that will look at me and look at the way I live my life and say the exact same things.
Yeah.
But we act like their sin is so much greater than our own.
Yeah.
I can't live that way because I know for sure I have a whole log in my own eye.
Well, okay, so let me just ask you this. You know what? They talk about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's I know that's not what they're doing.
Sure.
But it sure is awful close.
You would think so. And I think that
I mean the
okay.
The sheer I don't know, the sheer ideology that they have when they do this is like, "Oh no, we were just trying to I don't remember what the whole story said. It was just like something about, hey, we were just trying to unite people in difference and this, that, and the other. Okay, cool. Whatever.
Yeah, I get that.
But could you have picked a different way?
You and chose the absolute.
And then the dude with the blue Smurf costume or whatever on. I don't even know what he was supposed to be.
I think the thing about it is like, again, I am not meant to judge you for your lifestyle.
Yeah.
I'm not meant to judge them for their lifestyle. I don't agree with it. I don't personally think that that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
But how does my righteous indignation help change your behavior?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It won't. I can't change your behavior no matter what I do. Right? All I can do is love you and try to be the best possible example that I can be for you. And everything else is between you and God. If you whatever you choose, whatever I choose.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
If there are plenty of look, he talked about this too. He talked about quit being so religious. We're not focused on the grace at all. We're focused on the judgment of legality.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so this is the one thing that really got me was when they showed the dude. I'm going to read you the article because this is the same article that popped up when I was like, what the?
What the freak happened?
It says an Olympic balls up.
Oh, my gosh.
Eagle-eyed viewers spotted performers' testicles hanging out.
Oh, no.
During opening ceremony of the Paris 2024 Olympics as dancer suffers X-rated wardrobe malfunction. That's the part that I was really disgusted about.
It's in front of kids.
Now, there's kids watching. There's you know, more importantly, there's like these minds that they're trying to warp anyways.
Yeah.
But there's also like young women in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like dudes, okay, dude. It's a dude. It's a dude. It's his nutsack hanging out. I mean, I've
been in a locker room.
Yeah, I've accidentally seen probably 24 dozen freaking nutsacks. You know what I mean?
You played
that's
football.
Not a, yes.
You've been in the gym.
That's not a big deal for me, but it's for these.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
These young ladies that are, you know, I mean, probably fixing to start puberty or whatever. Like, that's not a sight they need to see. That's not a sight anybody needs to see anyways because it's a public stage.
Sure.
But come on, bro. I mean, can you imagine you took your kids to Paris to go watch the Olympics and he's like, hey, Dad, look, that guy's nutsack's hanging out.
You know what I mean? Like, really? That's what we wanted to come to Paris for, to watch a nutsack swing, son.
I know, right? Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, let's. Why are you even putting someone in that position where they can have that kind of malfunction?
Yeah.
It's a family sporting event. You know what I mean? Isn't. This isn't like,
well, I definitely
late question, night down at the Yellow Rose. You know what I mean?
I definitely question the motivation behind it, right? I question the motivation behind, like, what were you trying to accomplish? You were trying to accomplish inclusivity, which I'm okay with inclusivity.
But it's the provocative nature in which they're trying to do this. Okay, right. Look, man, I'm cool. What you do you. You go do you, and you do you, and you do that all you want to.
That's your business.
Don't shove it down my throat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I definitely don't need to see Mr. 280 Nutsack hanging out, swinging around.
Yeah, I mean, come on, bro. Ugh.
Quit being distracted by their behavior.
Yeah.
That was and something Doc Hayden said.
Yeah, I just had to interrupt you before you got that one out, didn't I?
But that's definitely right, though. Like, we're surprised by the behavior, even though this is not a shock.
We all know that this has to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to get worse. Prophecy to be fulfilled, all this stuff has to happen.
Yeah.
It talks about this. This is all things that we're going to witness and we're all going to see.
The next thing he talked about is, where is our love?
Yeah.
My reaction wasn't out of love. I have to be honest.
No. Mine wasn't either.
My instant reaction
was. And I'm going to be real honest with everybody listening too. I still am not happy with the whole situation.
I'm not either.
I'm trying to figure out how to.
Right.
Like, how can I, okay, I understand. They don't understand what they're doing, whatever.
My question is why did it have to be centered around Christianity? Like, why couldn't you celebrate inclusivity without that? Like, okay. Why did you have to focus that?
I'll tell you one reason why it was centered around Christianity. Can you imagine if they would have mocked Islam? France would no longer be on the map.
No, Paris would have been done.
They would have been attacked by, because of the nature of that religion.
Yeah.
There would have been people there, like, marching on the city with all intentions of wiping that place off the map.
Yeah.
And the thing about them is they don't care if they take their own life. They believe that they get value in taking
that
their
sacrifice
own life.
Is actually, yeah.
Yeah, they believe that pays. So that is the, you know, as Christians, we're not that way.
Yeah.
Now, we do get in an uproar and we do whine and piss and complain.
I will say that I'm not sure that that's the right approach. The Islam approach is, I don't know that that's the right approach.
No, absolutely not. Right. But that's why they don't make that mistake.
Right.
Because if they would have made that mistake, they know it would have been game over.
Yeah.
You can't tell one Islam, like one hardcore Islamic person, anything bad about their religion and expect them not to want to kill everybody around you.
Nope.
That's in their nature.
You show an image of Muhammad. They're not okay with it.
No.
The next thing he talked about was that Christ actually willingly accepted the punishment. Yeah. For our brokenness, right?
Yeah, stayed focused, so he made it to the cross.
Dude, that point, too, when he was talking about, like, he should have been done by the beating
by the lashings that he bore upon his back, yes.
But no, he stayed strong, and he focused and made it to the cross. And he took that cross for me and you. And again, it's not just for me and you, it's for everybody around
us. For them, too.
Yeah.
The people that we're condemning.
Yeah. Oh. And I don't want to. I don't want to condemn.
I don't want to either. It's just, you know, I'm not making an excuse, but that's just the human side of it. You know, like,
right.
It's like, how dare you?
I'm jacked up,
like,
too.
How dare you mock my God? Like, what the? You know, and now can only tell you that I did, when I first saw that, I didn't watch the opening ceremony live.
I did not either.
I started seeing the news articles and then started seeing the clips and immediately was turned around like, no, this ain't.
I did the exact same thing.
This ain't for me. And then I bitched and pissed and moaned about it, you know what I mean, to everybody I knew. And everybody's like, no, blah, 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 blah. Like, we're right. We have the right to feel this way. And then now it's like, man, dude, I'm such a douche.
I feel like a jack, wagon.
Well, and
I think that that leads into the last point that Doc made, and that was we are not the judge.
Yeah.
Again, I disagree. Look, there are, again, there are people that disagree, that would disagree with, if they came and examined my life under a microscope or under a magnifying glass, that would have plenty of things that they would say that they disagree with about my life.
There's people.
Go ahead.
I think that it's unfortunate, and I hope anybody who's living that lifestyle that's listening understands, like, we're not coming from a place of judgment, and we're not trying to be judgment. I mentioned my daughters, like, I love you. I love you. I love you. I support you. I understand that you're going to live your life, and you're not, I'm not asking you to change. I'm not. That's up to Christ. I don't agree with the behavior. I don't agree with it. But again, if you look at my life under a magnifying glass, there are plenty of things that you could look at and say, I don't agree with that either.
Yeah.
But are you going to stop loving me because of that? No, I'm not going to stop loving you because you make decisions that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't agree with murder either.
Yeah.
I don't agree with rape. I don't agree with kidnapping. I don't agree with stealing.
I don't agree with the molestation.
I don't agree with any of that.
The incest, you know, like, that's a very common thing too. Like, people, like, uncles raping nieces and stuff like that.
I don't agree with any of that. And let me tell you something. Okay, we're talking about, that's a heterosexual thing, right? Yeah. With a grown 40-year-old freak, nasty dude sticking his wee-wee inside of a freaking 6-year-old or 5-year-old girl.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm fixing to say some things I shouldn't say. But look, I'm not supposed to judge that either because I'm not the judge.
I think what pissed me off the most about it, about the whole Olympic thing, is after realizing they pulled all that freaking crap.
Yeah.
I realized that NASCAR didn't race so that they could have
the Olympics.
Olympics could have the television.
Yeah.
Screw that. And then I was like, man, screw the Olympics. Like, at least let me have my NASCAR. If they're going to act like that, at least let me have my NASCAR. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the thing that I'm starting to love about NASCAR the most is they do acknowledge God.
Yeah. There's a prayer
before every race.
Yeah.
And, whew, you want to talk about a dangerous sport, man. People's lives can be on the line at any given time. On that racetrack,
the one thing that I really enjoy about it, my son is getting into getting into sports, like, intensely.
Yeah,
I mean, he always has been into them, but here about the last year, he's kind of been coming into his own in everything. Like,
right
now, he likes NASCAR. He's got his own driver. Right. I can't remember whose driver is. But it's not mine, so
I'm yours always, is Ross Chastain.
Yeah, I'm always
still Denny Hamlin. Yeah,
I'm always talking smack to him. You know what I mean? But he's really into baseball now. Yeah. I'm starting to see the inner, like, me coming out in him.
Yeah,
that's what I really enjoy about it, is because NASCAR is such a family oriented sport.
Yep. Gosh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you watch a race and you'll talk about this driver that's on the course talking about how his dad was a race, his grandfather raced, and his grandfather's they've been passing it on for generations.
Look at Joe Gibbs and Ty Gibbs.
I mean, seriously. Joe Gibbs is a great coach, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but look, he owns that.
Yeah, Joe
Gibbs. He owns racing. That team, and it's his great-grandson or grandson.
It's just his grandson, yeah, Ty Gibbs.
And you talk about. And then look at now Michael Jordan's getting into it.
Yeah.
He's been in it, but.
Yeah. Him and 2311 Racing, which is owned by Denny Hamlin, which is my guy, and Michael Jordan. Now, interestingly enough, Denny Hamlin doesn't race under that.
Yeah.
he still races for somebody, for a different race team. It's just, it is a very family passed on generation to generation to generation kind of thing. And. You can watch it over and over. Like, just watch it for one weekend. You'll see somebody talking about the generations passing this on. And it's like every single driver, every single crew chief, every single person in the pit. Like,
I mean, you got the Bush brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Dale Jr. and Dale Sr.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's probably the two most iconic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, old school racers.
There was Richard Petty, Kyle Petty.
Yeah. I mean, you got there's. It's a very, very intense family-oriented sport. I mean,
definitely. That's because they. What do we do? What you follow dad to the racetrack?
Yeah.
You helped him work on the cars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can you imagine being Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s kid?
No.
I mean, bro, that was the intimidator. That was, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. At the time, that dude was the king.
He was at that time.
And, you know, and Dale Jr., I mean, now you can't take nothing away from him either.
Nope.
He just wasn't as crazy as his dad was. You know what I mean?
Well, and you know, his dad ended up dying on that track. You know what I mean? Like I was saying originally, like, you know, you can say that that's not athletic. There's not athletes, but dude, your life is on the line.
You cannot tell me that they are not athletes.
Bro, do you imagine first the off, heat inside
first
there?
And foremost, those dudes are going around. What's the average length of one of those tracks?
One mile.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 mile is
300, average. 500 laps.
Yep.
Hundreds continuously.
Yep.
Continuously. And it's all typically in the spring and the summer. So it's, you can only imagine if it's like, okay, take for instance, when we went down to Texas Motor Speedway.
Gosh, and it wasn't even
how hot was
late
it on the track?
Yet. It felt like a billion degrees.
Dude, it was hot. It was hot enough that we were panting.
Yes.
Now, get inside one of those cars where you're generating all that heat and you're in that suit.
Yep.
And all that gear and you're strapped to that seat.
Yep.
That hugs your body so freaking tightly.
Yep.
I mean, it's like being in the bed with my old lady when it's wintertime and the heater's set at 75. You know what I mean? Like, when she's got her leg draped over you and you're smothering to death. So like, hot. Yeah.
And look, you know, they've designed those suits to deliver cold air and stuff like that. But I remember a few weeks ago there was a race where one of the drivers, his suit was failing and it was very, very hot. His suit wasn't working. It was already like 105. Then what's going on inside that car and on the track? There ain't no AC in that car.
No.
You know what I mean? No air.
I mean, you gotta go to the bathroom. You ain't just say, hey, time out.
I gotta go potty. Yeah.
You know, like we do here. I mean, I'm like, I take my headphones off 2-3 times an episode.
Yeah.
Like, hey, time out, dude. I gotta go.
We got to go.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah. But
no, they're just doing it. You know what I mean?
I don't know what they do because they race for.
They can't let themselves get dehydrated. You know they can't do that, so they have to stay hydrated. So you know at some point it's just like.
Are you just holding that the whole time, or they got an evacuation facility inside that suit?
It's just like Dumb and Dumber. Just let it go. Just let it go.
That's really warm.
At that point, you're like, oh, it's really warm right now, but it'll help cool me down later.
Oh, my goodness.
Get out and you're chafed everywhere. Oh, man, I'm sorry. That
it's nice and
that
red.
That took a left turn.
And painful.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But you can kind of understand why it is such a, like, for me, like for you, it's such a cool sport because – yes, they do take the kind of same values that we have.
Yeah.
They do take pride in saying a prayer before every race, no matter what. Yep. That's done. It is family. It is very family oriented.
Yep.
I mean, and it's, you know, they're it's very entertaining. I mean, you know, you watch the first two stages are just watching, unless you see a crazy wreck.
Yeah.
But it's that third stage and everything's like, oh, what's happening now? And then you realize, oh, man, my boy pitted too soon. He's going to have to pit again. Like, dang.
It's interesting because you don't recognize strategy until you actually watch.
And then you see that, you know, like they pit extra early.
Yeah.
So that they can pit. They're one of the last ones to pit.
Yeah.
Getting into stage three.
Yeah. They're trying to time that out.
They have
perfect.
All the fuel and all the tires to make it through the race.
Yeah.
But always, what always happens to my guy is he gets put in the wall or
a bad caution comes out and it messes up the whole strategy.
And then it changes the race or, you know, or like,
That's what happened.
3-4 weeks ago, it went into, what, like 4 or 5 overtimes.
Yeah.
Kyle Larson ran out of fuel. There was a bunch of them that run out of fuel.
You know, the race we went to, first time.
Kyle Larson put my boy in the wall, too.
First time I've ever been to a NASCAR race. First time our brother Kevin had ever been to a race, which he's the NASCAR fan amongst us. The NASCAR fan amongst us. And that race went into overtime. And who won that race? Was that Keselowski that won that race?
I think so.
He hadn't won a race in, 3 years.
What do you remember? Kyle Larson coming out and losing his wheel, lost everything. He was the clear front runner for that race. He was faster than everybody. He was tearing it up.
He was
winning for a pit, dude. Come out and
tire falls off going down the road. Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, and then as he's swinging out on the top side of the track, and the tire just passes him on the inside. You know that's like. Really? Really, guys?
I mean, I can imagine as the driver, like, you son of a...
Oh, yeah, there it goes.
Well, this race is over.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know how we ended up going on NASCAR, but
I was just, all right. But, well, it's because we were talking about, you know, we were talking about the Olympics, and, you know, really not our place to pass that judgment, but...
It's not. But this is why we've started to kind of... I've even started to gravitate towards... NASCAR more even because it is so much more traditional, I guess you would say, and they say a prayer before every race, and you know they acknowledge God in that way, and you know what, I guarantee you not every driver there is a believer.
No,
I guarantee it, but they still do it.
No, but that's their thing. Yep. If you want to race, this is what we do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And call me a hillbilly, call me a redneck, call me whatever you want. I know what I am.
Call me what you want.
Yeah. I know what I am. Yes. Am I a redneck? Probably to some degree because I do redneck stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm trying to.
You're also Filipino.
Yeah, I'm a Filipino redneck, so go figure. But you take into consideration the fact, I'm over here talking about super gluing or epoxying our mic stand back together because I'm like, nah, bro, I can fix that. That is the inner redneck in me.
Yeah, we're going to make this thing work.
But call me what you want to call me. It's words. I don't care what you think about me.
Yeah, yeah.
I give two thoughts in my mind of people that I care about, really care about genuinely what they think about me.
Yeah.
That's God and my wife.
Yeah.
My kids will fall in line. My other relationships, typically if I'm acting right, they think well about me. If I'm not acting right, then those are the two people they're the two cares that I really give.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not to sound like hateful or anything like that, but that's just it. You know, I mean, I can't make it without either one of them.
Right.
So those are the reason that they're my two.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm right in the same boat with you. I'm not. And that's that's no offense to any of the other people that I love.
No, absolutely not.
No offense
not.
To you. Absolutely no offense to not. My dad or any of the people that I love and care about deeply. But my God and my wife come first and second. You know what I mean? And everything else is behind that.
Everything else falls in line afterwards, you know? And that's, I don't know. I mean, I may be wrong feeling that way, but I feel like I'm right. So I'm going to keep feeling that way. You know what I mean? It's kind of a hard thing.
For the purpose of our platform and for what we're trying to do and understanding, like our whole goal first and foremost is to grow our relationship with Christ, right?
Yes.
And then grow our relationships with those around us, right? Because our sphere, that it's about our sphere of influence. But if we're going to model the life that we're talking about, it's God, spouse, everything else.
Yep.
I mean, that's just it.
Yeah. God, spouse, family.
Yeah.
God, spouse, children, family.
Everything past that. And I'm not I am a huge family guy, but I'm not extended family guy. Yeah. I am my nuclear family, you know, God, spouse, children, everybody else can, you're basically in the friend zone.
And
that's not intentional. I don't do that on purpose, but that's just the way I operate.
So I'm very bad about, like, with my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
About getting closer to friends.
Yeah.
than I am with them. And then I feel terrible.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm, you know, like my dad, I mean, I've talked to you about this before. I mean, I know he's not okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you talk to him and you can clearly tell in his voice.
Yeah.
That he's got some health issues. He won't let you know it.
Yeah, he ain't going to let you know. He ain't going to tell you.
He ain't going to tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm not making enough of an effort to really spend time with him. Like, I quit deleting voicemails. So when he leaves me a voicemail, like, sends me text, I quit deleting them because, man, I don't want to be that guy that has nothing left.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But he's already tried to die on me twice.
Right.
Was basically dead. You know, they're asking what you need to make a decision. You know, like, what are you going to do? And thankfully, I was at that point in my life smart enough to be like, oh, hey, he's fighting on his own. Let him keep fighting.
Yeah.
Because the next day he stood up and started walking around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That experience wasn't like that for me with my mom. You know what I mean? And look, I can tell all the regrets about my behavior towards my mom and all that kind of stuff. Because your mom's always your mom. You know what I mean? And my dad's always my dad. And I love my dad. Bro, I'll break anybody off for that man. You know what I mean? But I'm his son, and sometimes he gets on my nerves, and sometimes I'm not always nice to him and all that kind of stuff. And then I see those things and I regret it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd look at that same thing with my mom. I can tell you all the bad stuff and all the things that have happened and all that, but I know that she just gave everything she could. She did what she could. She did what she knew to do. And sometimes that's not necessarily a good thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? but I she died such a young age, man. This year is 12 years that she's been gone. And she was 56 years old. You know what I mean? And you'll hear me say things about her. Not always nice, not always positive. Most of the time not. Because I have a lot of very difficult experiences with her. Yeah. But I'm not going to allow anybody else to say those things.
Well, yeah, no, of course not.
My brother and my sister, those are the only other two people that can talk, because they lived it, you know what I mean? And they understood, they have a different experience than me, but they also, they have their own experience and not always good, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I genuinely believe she gave everything she had. And, you know, the thing that hurt me the most about her in my life was when I told her, hey, I just want you to know that I forgive you. And she looked at me like I was crazy and said, for what? You know what I mean? That really hurt me in that moment. Yeah. And that was in adult life. But then on her deathbed, when she couldn't really speak and she had a tube down her throat, and she looked at me and said, I'm sorry. I know what she meant. You know what I mean? She was acknowledging everything. And
all the hurt, all the pain, all of everything.
And I'm grateful to God that I had the opportunity to pray with her and to help her on her journey, whether she fully committed herself to Christ or not. I truly believe that she was protected from her sin by acknowledging that Christ was her Savior. And I prayed with her on that day, dude. And I wasn't even a church going person at that point. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of winds everything back up to the original topic about, I don't care how far gone you are or where you are at right now. Christ is the only way.
Yeah.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to get to the Father is through him. Not me.
You know how many people out there? You know how many people out there don't, like, have no idea? Like, they're clueless.
Yeah.
Like, they hear us and they think we're crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a ton. I mean.
There's like 8 billion people on this planet, man.
I guarantee you at least probably 2 or 3 billion of them think we're crazy.
And I'm sure they do.
And you got to take into consideration that there's some of them that know, but they just, nah.
Yeah.
I'll get right next week. I'll get right next week.
Man, it's that right it's that line of thinking that is so dangerous, man. Yeah. And it's interesting that we start talking about that because we started talking about earlier. I asked you, like, hey, what was on your mind? And you really kind of started talking about stewarding of our time.
Yeah.
Because we've actually already kind of talked about this when we talked about the power of 100 and the 18 minutes a day, kind of the concept of 18 minutes a day doing any discipline, you'll be greater than 95% of the world.
Yeah.
At that discipline.
It's 8 minutes a day. Is it 8 or 18?
It's 18 minutes. It's 18 minutes. Yeah. So 18 minutes a day equals 100 hours in a year. Right. And you were kind of talking about stewarding of our time, and
it was something that come on the radio this morning.
Yeah.
So as I was going to Home Pride Center or Pride yeah. Home Center, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know the name of this radio. It's 102 point something.
Okay.
And they were talking about people dedicating their time, like they want to sit down and watch, you know, dedicate so much time to watching these sporting events and watching their favorite reality shows and scrolling through Instagram and doing all these things, but you can't dedicate 5 minutes of your day to quiet time and prayer with God.
You can
watch this, you know, football games, typically 3 hours. You can watch this 3 hour football game, but you can't dedicate 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Like,
and hey, if you're not a sports fan, you can watch this movie. You can play this video game.
You can flip through TikTok for added up time on TikTok. For me is probably at least an hour
at minimum
every day.
Yeah. An hour of my time.
I flip through TikTok. Come on, man. I can't spend 5 minutes in quiet time with God.
Yeah.
And say a prayer, like a meaningful prayer, like, hey, thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon me.
Gosh, no kidding.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
it's interesting because the last episode that came out, I guess it was episode 30, and this is when we first started talking about the power of 100 and the 18 minutes a day and all that stuff.
We talked about it in Bible study first.
We talked about it in Bible study first.
Yes.
And my Aiden, I want to say my son, Aiden actually said he listened to it and he said, hey, look up the meaning of this word, and I can't say it. It's a Japanese word, kaizen, K-A-I-Z-E-N.
Let me give it a crack.
You're the Asian in this group.
Really?
My bad. That was racist as hell, my
kaizen.
Man. Kaizen.
Maybe, yes.
Okay, so the concept is the concept of continuous improvement, and the way he put it was 1%, like 1% improvement every day, right? It's really kind of circular thought into that idea of like, man, if I could just dedicate this much, it was less than 1%.
Yeah, it was
0.025 or 0.1. Oh, no, it was 1.25. It's 1.25% of a day is 18 minutes. 1.25%. And I can't devote 1% of my day.
You have 98.75% of your day left.
You know what it reminds me of?
Saying, like, yeah, come on,
it
man.
Reminds me of back in the day with the kids, like with the boys or, you know, whatever, and they have chores. And it's like, bro, if you will just do the stupid freaking chore,
yeah,
the rest of your time is free. I'm not asking you to do anything else. Take the trash out.
My mom used to have a list of chores.
Oh, bro.
A list. Oh, and bro. I'm telling you... it wasn't the same every day. Like, she would write me out a new list every day, and it was on the refrigerator. And it would look so daunting. It's like 12 items.
You feel like that's all day.
Feed the dogs, take out the trash, pick up the dog crap, rake the front yard, mow, do the dishes, you know, make your dinner, clean your room, pick up the living room. These small little things. I mean, it was a lot of little things.
Yeah.
But... I very quickly figured out, like, because I'd walk in there and look at something and I'd go do that. And then I'd go jack around for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then I'd go in there and look at something and then I'd go do that.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, come 5 o'clock, 5:30, and I know mom's fixing to be home. I still have four things on this list and I'm freaking out trying to get it done.
Right.
And it wasn't, I've quickly figured out, man, just get up in the first thing in the morning, bang that thing out, dude, take you like an hour and a half. And the whole rest of the day, I can be over at my friend's house.
Doing whatever.
Because it was the summer that my chores were always the longest.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was summertime. Yeah. My chores, like,
oh, yeah.
You didn't get away with not taking care of business. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mow the yard, rake the leaves, rake up dog crap, I mean, take out the trash, pick up the living room, make your bed, do your laundry. I mean, it was things like that. Yeah. And it's like,
you know, my mom didn't make me do. My stepdad was pull the weeds. That was punishment.
Yeah.
Pick up dog crap. That's punishment. That so, like, nowadays, like, if my wife is like, hey, let's go pick weeds, I'm like, Right? Because it was about, that was punishment.
Yeah.
Because my stepdad didn't mow nothing. We had to pick it. And, but with my mom, it was all house stuff. I had to wash, dry, iron, fold and put away my parents' laundry. You know what I'm saying? Like my stepdad was very particular about his because he had uniforms back in that time and in the early days. He was very particular about that. Like they had to look pressed. It's no wonder I'm kind of like a homemaker. Like I'm Susie Homemaker and I'm a dude. You know what I mean? Like I was raised to do that. Like do the dishes, do the laundry, do the stuff in the house, sweep, mop, vacuum, dust, like all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just weird that it's the same idea though, right? Like if I would just get up and go do it right off the bat instead of like trying to waste as much time as possible.
Yeah.
And then
panic mode.
And then they'd come home and I'd have messed something up or I didn't do something. Yeah. And now I got a hell to pay.
Yeah.
I get ass whoopings or whatever. It's like I would have saved myself a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah.
If I'd have just done it.
I only had a handful of chores I had to do every day. I had to do the dishes every day.
Yep.
I had to feed the dogs every day. I had to clean my room every day. Yeah. Like those are like the main ones, you know, like everything else was kind of like, she would let me know, like, oh, hey.
Do that.
You need to do your laundry.
Yeah.
Which I learned how to do my own laundry at a fairly young age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you couldn't – doing my laundry was not just putting it in the washing machine and starting it and walking away.
Yeah.
It was making sure it made it to the dryer, and it was making sure it made it to being put up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's all the process.
It's the whole process. It wasn't leaving wash, it in the dryer.
Dry, either. Fold, put away.
Everything. Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So when you talk about like the chores of punishment, none of mine were really punishment. Nothing was ever really, it was for punishment. It was just, you know, and my mom I didn't get money for doing my chores. That's not what that was about. That was like,
that's your contribution.
Yeah.
You know, you got to eat.
My mom worked two jobs. Sometimes she worked three jobs. My mom worked two jobs consistently for my whole childhood.
Yeah.
That was, you know, she wasn't going to be home to do those things. Now, I didn't have to do any of her stuff.
Right.
But she made damn sure she didn't have to come home and do any of my crap. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which I can't blame her for that.
No, of course not.
But nothing was ever punishment. None of my chores were ever punishment. So it's hard for me to, relate to that. But yes, I can imagine how getting told to go pick weeds and you look out in a backyard. Back then, our backyard was big. Ours was huge.
Too. Yeah.
And it was covered with weeds.
Gosh.
But I'd mow that son of a gun. You know what I mean?
I remember going out there, and of course, my hands are much bigger now, but it seemed like those things were like this.
Yeah, and you're trying to pull them up, and it's like, they're about as tall as you are.
Get that out, you know what I'm saying? Oh, man.
It took me a long time to realize. My mom would always tell me, mow the grass every week, mow the grass every week, mow the grass every week.
Right.
It took me a long time to realize I'd let it go. I'm like, if I just kept mowing it every week,
got easy.
It ain't
stayed
as
easy.
Tall. Yeah. It's a lot easier. Don't take as long.
The longer you wait, the harder it is.
Yeah, man, mow it every other day if you have to. You know what I mean? Because in all honesty, you let it get tall, and we never had grass in our backyard. It was weeds.
Just weeds.
Bro. It's weeds. Mm-hmm. And it's the big, like, that big around, you know, the base, you know, you mow it over and all the juices come flying on your legs. And
like, that got, white stuff?
Yeah. Oh, you got all the milk coming out of these freaking weeds. Oh, yeah. No.
But interestingly enough, you know, you started the conversation earlier with the stewardship of our time, which stewardship is a concept that we don't really talk about a lot. And I was actually talking to Terry about it earlier, my wife, Terry, earlier about, like, stewardship. And she's like, what is stewardship? And I was like, you know, that's a good question. Like, I don't know that I can give you the best definition I can give without, like, looking up Webster's dictionary. Is like, it's like wisely using what you've been given, right?
Yeah, and you, I see that. Yeah. When I think of, like, stewardship, what I think about is like guidance.
Yeah,
I think a lot of guidance.
Like, well, and I think that maybe that's kind of in relationship to other people.
Yeah,
right. But we don't just steward relationships, yeah. Right? We steward our money, we steward our time, we steward our food.
Yeah,
right. Being good stewards to that and not being wasteful.
Yeah,
right. It's kind of the thought process.
I see that now,
and I don't know if. Whenever you said it, this is what the first thing that came to my mind. It was the parable of the three servants. And I think that, you know, we've had an interesting conversation already, but I think we should finish with scripture today and see how it kind of speaks to us about the concept of stewardship, right? So it's in Matthew, which is quickly becoming my favorite of the three gospels, three gospels, John.
Really?
Elementary, son.
That's about
the
like
three gospels.
Yeah, that's about like me introducing myself a couple episodes ago as John. Yes. I am John because I was looking at you and thinking.
which is quickly becoming my favorite of the four gospels. Yeah. It's in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Just quickly, remember that when Jesus is talking, like the concept isn't about man.
Yeah.
It's about God and his relationship to you. And the fact that he said, like, look, I'm dividing it, I'm divvying this up in accordance with your ability, the ability that I know that you have already, right? The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, and he earned 5 more, so he doubled it. The servant with 2 bags of silver went to work, and he earned 2 more, he doubled it. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5, and I have earned 5 more." Master was full of praise. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together." The servant who received... Sorry, I'm lost. There it is. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned you 2 more." Master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness. where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
See, okay.
Go ahead.
The first thing that comes to mind, because this, you know, it's a parable. This is Jesus' way of explaining how your relationship with God is or whatever. That's freaking scary to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in fear of jeopardizing my relationship with Christ, so I sit in idle, and is that going to be what happens?
Yeah. I mean, it could be.
You know what I'm saying?
I think the answer to the question is, well, I mean, why did the concept come to your thoughts, right? Why did you start? Because you're concerned about it, right?
Yeah, it was immediately drawn to my attention. Like, holy crap. I mean, the dude's just like, hey, man, I was in fear that I'm going to lose it. Like,
yeah.
I can see that. Like, I'm in fear of jeopardizing my relationship with Christ every day.
Yeah. I think
so. Sometimes I sit in idle because I'm.
Yeah. I think the way that what I'm seeing here, the reason I think that what Christ is trying to tell you is he would rather you take a risk than not do anything at all. I think Christ is telling you, I would rather you give it a shot at something
than do nothing.
Than do nothing. Look. And look, I want right now, you are seriously feeling that fear, right? But perfect love casts out all fear, right? I gotta pull that up because that's in First John. It's always John.
Just kidding. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but that's immediately what is being brought to my attention. It's like,
yes. 1 John 4:18. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Look, the truth of the matter is I'm not perfect about shepherding my time. Stewarding my time either, and stewarding what God has given me. The point of the matter is it's trying to tell you, like, hey, look, do something, believe in something. I would rather you believe in something than not believe in anything.
No, I'm not saying that.
Sure.
What I'm saying is, like, I still struggle. Like, I believe. Trust me. I believe. Sure. I'm a full believer. I know.
Yeah.
It's not that I believe. I know. I know that Jesus Christ was sent here to save us.
Right.
And I do know that he was sacrificed on the cross so that we could be saved and be forgiving of all of ours, or be forgiven for all of our sins. I know that.
Right.
But when it talks about this, that's not what I'm thinking. Immediately what is happening with me when I see this is like, I don't go and I'm not like a fisher of men per se. Mm. I don't do the kind of things like that I need to do in my walk.
Sure.
Do you see what I'm saying now? Like, I've been given this wonderful life that I could showcase for people and be like, hey,
sure,
come to this side. It's great. Do you kind of see what I'm saying?
I do.
And then,
I do.
But I still have so much doubt in my walk that I don't do that. And
but who are you doubting?
Me, of course.
Why?
You know, it's a long story.
It's a short story, and I'm going to flip the coin back over because I do the same thing. You do realize that I doubt every single thing that I do, right?
Like, yeah, we've talked about so much.
I almost did it. What does it matter that I? Okay,
you took five bags of silver and you brought back five more. You may be doubting yourself, but you did it. You made the move.
I made the move, but I probably lost. I'm the five dude.
Yeah, but you still made the move. I'm the dude that was given the one bag and set it in a safe. So that I didn't screw it up. I'm that fearful in every single thing that I do when it comes to my walk that I don't want to. I take that part back. I'm not that fearful that I don't do anything because I do a little.
Yeah.
But I do the bare minimum.
It's better than zero.
So is that going to be what, like, that's why I'm like, is this going to be what happens to me? Like, hey, get out of here, you wicked and lazy servant. Like, no, please don't do that to me.
Hey, you want to know the good news? And I'm scared of where this is going. I'm afraid for you because I think the good news is that you're concerned about it. If you're concerned about it, you'll do something about it. If you're not concerned about it and you're like, eh, is what it is.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro. Your attitude towards it isn't, well, that is who I am, so I guess I'm going to outer darkness.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely don't want that, you know? I mean.
But see, that's the good news, right? The good news is Christ has already paid the penalty of our sin. The debt is already paid, right? We don't owe anything anymore, right? Just because you're not where I am, just because you're not where somebody else you see is, doesn't mean you're doing nothing. You're discounting what you do do.
Sorry, I could not resist that.
You're discounting what you do do, just like you would to me, just like you would to me when I tell you that I get discouraged about what I'm doing and believing that I'm not necessarily doing, that I'm not called to do what I'm supposed doing, that I'm not impacting people the way I want, believe that I should be. What would you tell me? What would you tell me sitting right across from me when I tell you, like, yeah, you think I do so much, but I really don't believe I'm bringing anything back?
Really?
Really? Do you not see? I mean.
Really?
Really? Why not really me?
No, I'm trying to.
What? I mean.
I'm trying to make you understand, like, look, just because you're not giving what I'm giving doesn't mean that you're giving zero.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, George.
Okay, I see you.
What I'm trying to say is, like, look, I understand why that could be very discouraging. Right?
It's not discouraging. It's freaking scary. Terrifying. Discouraged my ass. It is freaking terrifying.
It really is.
We are no longer rated Sunday morning gospel on
we're on PG-13 right now.
We're riding the cusp of getting moved up a couple notches.
We are on the we are currently at youth group right now. we've stepped out of the elementary class.
Yeah.
Well, but like, look, this is talking about people that refuse to give their life. Right? Have you chosen Christ?
Of course. You were there. I mean, you.
Okay.
No, I take that back. That is a superficial way of saying, yes, I have. That is kind of portraying the look what I'm doing aspect.
I agree.
Of it. So I take that back. But yes, of course I have.
Right.
And I did it in such a manner that I used to raise my hand all the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah. I still at the altar call, or not the altar, they don't do altar call, but when they do that call for that, I still sometimes am like, I feel like I should.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because it talks about if you feel like you need to regather yourself.
Rededicate.
Yeah, rededicate. Yeah. Doesn't mean that I haven't already given myself, but I quickly realized that because I partied a little too hard on Saturday night before church, that was no reason for me to raise my hand.
Right.
Or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's usually because I felt like I was stumbling.
So when you're talking about what we've been talking about, are you saying that this isn't the same, though, that you're not giving your time to this, that you're not stewarding this? Oh,
No. Okay, I'm not then. Discounting this, and I'm not discounting our men's Bible study, and I'm not discounting our couple small group. I'm not discounting any of that. Because
you bring a lot to the table.
But what I'm saying is, dang, man.
Come on with it.
No, you killed my argument. You killed it, dude. You damn you for that.
Oh, come on, man.
You killed it, dude.
Like, how did I kill your argument?
Because you brought something to my attention that I wasn't thinking about. I wasn't really thinking about. I wasn't really thinking about it put in that manner. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so now that you say that, okay, yeah. Now I don't feel so bad.
you're doing something.
I know, but I guess what I felt like I wasn't doing was I wasn't going, like, I don't dedicate any, like, I go to church and that's that.
Sure.
I don't dedicate any time in the church. I don't help pastor anybody. I don't help guide anybody. I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But when you said that, I quickly realized that, yes, I am doing something.
Sure.
I do have a lot of I probably don't bring a lot of intelligence to any of our groups. No, I'm not trying to discount anything that I do.
I understand.
I'm being very brutally honest because I am typically the one asking the most simple questions. Like, hey, hold up, like, explain this to me. And it's not that I'm not gonna say I'm dumb, but I'm still very, very shaky.
Yeah.
When it comes to intelligence about the Bible, I can show you a couple things.
Sure.
Hey. And that's that. But
way better than zero.
Every time we sit down and we really talk and you've really got my attention, you notice that I'm like, hey, yeah. Right here. Like, hey.
Yeah, but I also notice maybe that you don't notice in the midst of conversations that we're having in Bible study on Mondays and on Wednesdays and even here that things that we talk about are coming out in your conversation and in your response to things. You might not recognize it, but I do. I see you in the middle of our conversations throw something out there that's maybe you don't recognize that you're putting out God's word or that you're putting out the God's promise or anything like that, but you are.
Yeah,
you're doing a lot more than you think you are, right? And I think that you would say the same thing to me.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But hey, look, you know all the things. And look, I'm not trying to be like, oh, look at me. You know what I mean? I'm not that guy. But do you realize that I still feel like I should be doing more? I think that's the plight of this walk, and that's the plight because there's always a next step. Right. You may not have made the next step. You might be kind of stuck in a step that you're in. And that I understand.
I lost my shoe like 3 steps ago. I'm going to go back and get it. That's what happened.
It's okay, brother.
It is. And it's not. And in all honesty, I don't know. Maybe I'm just because I started out so hot.
Yep.
And I was like on fire for this, you know, and since then life has kind of started like
doing what it does.
Yeah. And so my fire still lit. Nobody's blew it out.
That came up.
I stole that from last night. Nobody's done that to it, but it's still like, it's like someone's, you know, like when you put a lid on a candle.
Yeah.
And you watch the fire slowly go out. Yeah. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
But I want my fire to be burning so bright that you can see it, the world around.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you do about it then? You know, I'm going to ask you that question.
I know.
What are we going to do about it?
I wasn't prepared for that. So can I bring this up again next week?
Yes, like, absolutely.
Can I come up with a reasonable answer?
Hey, you know what? I think that's a good way to stop the conversation or to drop the conversation, because we should never have a question without having some sort of an answer.
Yeah.
Right. And like, look, you're dealing with something that we all deal with, especially those of us who choose to take this walk. Right. I get cold too. I've been feeling cold for a while. You know what I'm saying?
You don't show it.
You say that, but you don't see.
Cold.
But you don't see.
I know.
See what's going on inside of here.
I know.
You know, and you and I haven't really been communicating all that much lately. Not for about a month now, or maybe a little longer than a month.
Yeah,
we don't.
We had a very strange.
We've had a stretch of difficult.
Yeah, not like a strain on our relationship. Just
no.
Communication's been kind of.
It's difficult. We're both very busy. Yeah. You know, you're doing a lot of, you know, your work is doing a lot of things to you. And I think you actually talked about your side gig kind of maybe being too much for you right now. And,
yeah, I'm going to shut that down.
You know what I mean? Like,
my weeks are chaotic. My days are chaotic.
And it's too much.
Everything is just chaotic. And
it's too much. And you know what? We've actually decided that our small groups, we're going to do 3 and 1, 3 and 1, 3 and 1. We'll be on for 3 straight and then take a week off. But never actually take a long break.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that will actually kind of help kind of calm some of the chaos down a little bit. You get 1 week where you don't really have all that extra going on. Although that extra isn't bad.
No, it's not bad, but it's a
commitment.
Yeah. Right? It's not, and the problem's not that it's a commitment. The problem is that you have all these other commitments.
Yeah.
That's why I'm
and those I'm commitments gonna, are it, relentless.
That's why I think I'm going to kind of just step back from some of those commitments and not have to strain myself so much because, I'm telling you, it's stressful. Right now it's not like, yes, of course I enjoy all the benefits of it, but it's just I've come to a point where it's like, okay, look, man. Right now I choose my sanity.
I think that, again, man, first of all, quit being so hard on yourself. Take it one step at a time.
Have you noticed a pattern here?
Yeah, I do. But look, again, I could say the same thing about myself. It's different. It doesn't look the same as yours, but that doesn't mean it's not equally the same in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, as a person who's who wants to be a mentor, who wants to shepherd you and help you get not only where I am, but beyond it. I worry and I'm concerned and I want to help you so bad, but I also know that you have to deal with some of that in-house. Yeah. You know what I mean? I can't fix it for you, right? Only you can come to the conclusions that need to be come to. And only the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And if you want to talk about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that's ignoring the calls that he's giving you. That's ignoring repetitively the things that he's trying to cut away from your life is what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. That's what I see when I think about that.
That was a question that I actually had, not today, but.
Yeah, it's something that we talked recently about. So I would say that, like, look, man, we need to write down because we're not going to drop this conversation and not come back to it.
Yeah, you know, I noticed I took zero notes today. Zero.
But we've had a great conversation, and I think it was necessary. The question is, okay,
can I fix it? That's what you asked.
Now that we've identified that maybe we have a stewardship problem, what do we do with that knowledge, right? And we should come back with some sort of answers. And then, you know, beyond that, you know what, I think that maybe I sold us short earlier when we opened the show, and I didn't truly pray. I was kind of being silly, but I was also
I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
but don't sell yourself short in that prayer. We were talking. Very loosely before we started the show. Everything was, we were very jokingly coming into this. Not like, oh, ha, 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 just not taking it serious. We were both very, very energetic, happy. I mean, we both came into this with the utmost energy that we probably could have.
Yeah.
So, no, don't sell yourself short on the prayer, because anything, relating to God in a good way is a good prayer. Now, that being said, if you feel like we should say another prayer, of course.
I kind of do.
But before we do that, I'm going to drop a dad joke so we can end it serious.
Come on, man.
I'm afraid for the calendar. Its days are numbered.
Jeez,
what do you got as far as bumper sticker wisdom goes?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know what? Actually, this is one of the first ones I ever wrote down, and I think it kind of as apropos. Harper Lee. Many receive advice, only the wise profit from it.
Oof.
Yeah.
I do want to share the one that I sent you the other day.
Go with it.
And this, I think, is everybody in their walk. Pray, wait, trust.
Yeah.
Basically, what you're saying is plant the seed, water the seed.
Trust that God's got it, man. And
Has been huge to me ever since I sent that. And that was true bumper sticker wisdom right there.
He sent me the picture in traffic.
There was a car in front of me, and that was that's what this lady had on the back of her car. And I was like, man, this is freaking amazing.
And it reminds me of how bumper sticker wisdom became the name, right? Because that bumper sticker that I caught on the way to our first ever actual recording, which didn't get released, by the way.
Maybe one of these days it'll be a blooper reel.
We have to go. Probably, because it's vastly different than it used to be.
Yeah, it's completely different.
So,
you want to say anything before we end this? Or?
I think that really to do this, we do need to take it to God.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not beating myself up for the way I started with prayer, because I try to say in a serious prayer, but I also think that sometimes. Based off of something else, which was a dream that I had, I'm recognizing that maybe I'm focused too much on what I'm saying rather than the power of the name of Jesus. And maybe that's what he's been trying to teach me. Yeah. And that's kind of why I started it that way. But after all the things that we've talked about today and some of the discouragement that could be coming within our hearts about where we are in our walk and what we are doing and maybe not doing, I think we need to commit it to God in a true and honest way.
Yeah. I'll do the honor if you don't mind.
I would love for you to do that.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we want to thank you for this opportunity to come together in this fellowship, this amazing walk that we are doing in your name. We want to thank you so much for the people that we're touching, the people that are hearing this and receiving this, the people that are giving us the encouragement to keep on doing this. First and foremost, we want to give this to you. We want to thank you so much for having the words, the wisdom to offer to everybody, to each other. I want to thank you for my brother John helping me with this, being there for me through all of this. I want to pray for the people that are misguided, that truly don't know you. I want to pray that they find you, and they find you soon, not too late, that they come to understand the true happiness and joy that you can bring to their life, the fulfillment that they can get from you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.